Let's remember together some of the greatest TV and movie stars of yesteryear with the woman who knew them. Mary Jane Popp hosted radio and TV shows for nearly 5 decades, meeting these stars and getting them to share their real-life stories. You'll meet them up close and personal as Mary Jane searches her extensive archives for the best and brightest real star talk on Pop Star Talk. And here she is, Mary Jane Popp.
And welcome once again to Pop Star Talk. Hi, Mary Jane Popp here with my producer, Kenneth Seguro Noel, and Pop Star Talk. Hey, Ken, once again, what a hard time choosing where we were going to go in time. But this time, not an actor or an actress, but I still, influencing the entertainment world in a big way. The gossip columnist who told it like it was, even at times brutally, Rona Barrett. Actually, her name was Rona Burstein. She was born October the 8th, 1936, and she never held back. Now, back in 2010, I actually interviewed her, and she shared some very intimate times in her life, including a health condition and the loves to the pain and loss that she endured. Do you remember Rona Barrett, Ken?
Oh, yes, I do. And that's a tough world to live in if you're a critic in Hollywood. Can you imagine you said something bad about somebody and you walk into a restaurant in Hollywood and there they are, you know?
Oh, so. Yeah. Well, I've got a couple of enemies that she made. I'll talk about those a little bit later. But unbelievable stuff that she did. She actually started out as a columnist and then started broadcasting, on KABC. In Los Angeles.
Oh, yes. I know it well.
Yeah. So it's, she seemed like a really nice person, but of course she was not critiquing me, at the time. So Maybe that made a big difference. Yeah. So anyway,
they say critics are the best people until they say something bad about you.
Yes, absolutely. And I've got some people that were pretty high powered and pretty upset with her. One of them, you are not going to believe. But let's get to it. It's all about the Hollywood scene and lots more.
Ah, she is a pioneer in entertainment reporting. She developed the first in-depth personal TV specials about celebrities. Now her website, RonaBarrett.com, delves into Hollywood's issues and politics, and her celebrity DVD, Rona Barrett's Hollywood, Nothing But the Truth, makes her a household entertainment word all over again. She's the one and only Rona Barrett. Nice to have you with us today, Rona.
Oh, thank you, Mary Jane. That's so sweet of you. And I love your opening. It's so clever and cute.
Well, talk about clever and cute. You instituted that word, clever. I mean, you were just unbelievable. You started it all about celebrity interviews.
Well, I think there were others before me. But what I did is I had the courage to go after television. And television was in its infancy stages. And I just had this instinct that there were going to be many more people who would get their news from TV than they would from reading the papers or magazines. And eventually, of course, that became a reality.
I mean, the list goes on. And the Beatles, Tom Cruise, Clint Eastwood, Jane Fonda, Alfred Hitchcock, Hugh Hefner, Elvis. I can go on and on and on. If you could pick out maybe your favorite interview, I know this is hard to do, but something that really stuck out in your mind after you did that interview for life.
A number of people ask me that question, but it is so difficult because of all the different kinds of people that I did interview.
Uh-huh.
And everyone I always found, when you were just one-on-one with them, they always had some kind of an interesting story to tell. It was just how you got them to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were always talking about things in many ways that we hadn't really talked about before with stars. And that was their own personal lives and what made them really tick and how did they get to do whatever it was that they wanted to do and talk about the hardships and the good times and funny times. And I remember starting an interview with Robin Williams. And he had just starred, he was just starting the series of Mork and Mindy. And I didn't know him from a hole in the wall, and and he didn't know me from the same hole in the wall. And we just, and I started talking to him, and he was just playing his funny Mork character. And then finally, I started talking to him about other things, and he then finally started to open up about when I asked him where the humor came from.
Mm.
And he talked about his father and how he wanted to please his father so very much. And suddenly he was just like sitting there telling you this story about what it meant, you know, to make his father feel proud of him.
Aww.
And he, it was like he forgot who he was for a moment and was being the real
person,
the real Robin Williams. And, you know, I've had many of those moments. You know, John Wayne telling me that the one thing that he regretted most in life was that he was never able to sustain a marriage more than 7 to 9 years.
Hmm.
And that really bothered him.
Isn't it amazing?
And,
well, see,
you know, it was things like that that, you know, that, you know, you never really heard about these kind of stories or what they were feeling, and were willing to reveal it, and that what made the interview more or less interesting or rememberable.
Oh, more than interesting, but that was because of you. I'm serious. You see interviews, and that stars think that that's what they're supposed to do. They keep up the facade, and you took that facade away and say, I want to know about the real person. I want to know about you. And I took lessons from you. I got a newsflash. When I started doing interviews, I did the same thing. I wanted to know about what their philosophy was, what makes them happy. And let them be people for a change instead of the star.
Well, there was a tremendous difference. And I myself, I think, fell into the trap when I was, you know, first starting out, thinking that the person that they were playing up on the screen was the person that they really were. And that was far from the truth. And so I always said there was a tremendous difference between the R-E-E-L and the R-E-A-L.
Mm.
And I went for the R-E-A-L. You know, and sometimes there are a couple of observations, you know, you make along the way, and you can't quite tell, you know, how or why it really happens, but you see a person perform in a film, and they get recognized at the end of the year for an Oscar nomination. And you say to yourself, you know, when I saw that film, he or she gave such an extraordinary performance. I just have this strange feeling. They must have known this character somewhere. This is a part of really them. And inevitably, it was.
Mm-hmm.
And while there are some actors who can play almost everything and anyone, there were those moments where the Oscar performance had a lot to do with who they were as a real person.
Yeah.
And that's what I discovered, that extra moment when they gave something a little different, a little additional.
Mm-hmm.
You knew that they had lived that life.
Yeah.
And that's what I went after. And inevitably, I'm not saying I got it all the time, but many times stars did admit to me that the role that they had just finished playing was very much
a part of the life
that they had lived.
And now I understand that you married your first sweetheart. Unfortunately, your first husband passed away, correct?
That is correct.
And you,
that is absolutely correct.
How did you meet your first sweetheart all over again?
Through a friend who lived where I now live, and we had known each other for longer than a weekend, as they say. and she said, this man keeps asking about you because he's very close to my brother. And he always says, well, if you ever see her, please tell her that, you know, I hope she's well. And if she ever needs anything, you just tell her to call me.
Hmm.
And it just went on like that. And like every 6 months, you know, my friend would say, why don't you call him? Why don't you call him? I said, I don't want to meet anyone. I don't want to talk to anyone. And I certainly don't want to talk to anyone from my past. Please leave me alone. She said, well, you have nothing to lose. I said, yes, I have a lot to lose. I said, I have memories I don't want to remember with this person. So anyway, it just, you know, it went on and on and on. And one day I said, look, I'm still mourning. I'm still mourning, so leave me alone. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, this is the best time that you can go call him. It's his birthday.
Aww.
I said, I know it's his birthday today.
Aww.
And I said, well, I don't have his phone number, and I don't know what I'd even say to him. So she gave me his phone number, and I sat home for about an hour or two, and I said, do I want to do this? Do I want to really do this?
Uh-huh.
Sure enough, Jane picked up the phone. He happened to answer, and all I did was say, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. And he said, hi, kiddo, how you doing? And
aww.
I said, fine, and how are you doing on your lovely, whatever birthday it was?
Uh-huh.
And he said, what can I do you for? He says, I'd love to see you. And I said, well, if you feel like taking a trek up to north of Santa Barbara, I'd be happy to say hello to you. He said, well, I can't come this weekend, but I can come the following week.
Oh, bless his heart.
Just like that. Oh. And so I said, I gave him directions, and he thought it was like a 4 or 5 hour trip from Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And he arrived the following week at my home at 7 o'clock in the morning.
No way.
Having started out at 3 o'clock in the morning, thinking he was going to have to travel 4 or 5 hours.
Bless his
heart. I mean, I was in a state of shock.
Anyway,
we just sat down and we started talking, and we talked for 12 hours straight, and that's the truth, skinny. And then he said, well, when can I see you again? I said, I don't know. And he said, well, I can't come next weekend, but I possibly could come the weekend after. So he came up to see me again. And it was just, you know, in a way, it was old friends. And I realized that in many ways, he wasn't the same person I knew all those years ago. He had certainly matured, and he was living a very different life and lifestyle, et cetera. And then, I don't know, 5 or 6 months later, he said, I'm getting too old to make this trip.
Oh.
He says, if I come up and live in your area, can I see you more? And
no.
I said, well, I guess, yeah, fine, okay. And that was it. And then 3 years later, we got married 2 years ago.
Oh, congratulations. You know, that brings tears to my eyes. That's a beautiful story. Now, when he was your first, was that in high school or?
No, he was the first man I met when I first came to Hollywood.
Oh.
We met in like 1959, 58, 59, 60, somewhere around there.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And I was crazy about this guy, really crazy about him. And we dated off and on for almost 11 years.
Holy smokes.
Said, oh, this is never going to go anywhere. And that was it. And one day somebody introduced me to my husband on a blind date. And he was such a sweet, darling man. I started dating him. And 10 days later, he asked me to marry him.
Oh, whoa.
So I said, whoa. I said, you don't even know me, and I don't even know you.
Uh-huh.
And he said, well, he said, I've been divorced for a lot of years now, and I know what I want. And he said, I want to marry you.
Oh.
And so we were married for nearly 30 years when he passed away.
I'm sorry in one way, but I'm so happy that you had those 30 years. You know, that was very important.
I had 30 very interesting years with this man, and I had got a wonderful family that came along with him. And I have 10 grandchildren that were all born on my watch.
Incredible!
It was a new experience for me in many, many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And the experience that I'm having now, the second time around, is equally as wonderful, but very different.
Sure, it's brand new. And isn't that a wonderful thing to have, though? That keeps life motivated.
You know, I'm very fortunate when I look back now. First of all, I never thought I would ever get married, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, to really have had two wonderful men in my life is something more than almost anybody could really wish for.
Not really. You're a pretty great gal, too, you know.
Well, I think I am. But that's me thinking about me. And the world isn't about me. It's about others, too.
And you know what, Ken? Unbelievable. You know, she is... Did you notice how she blossomed when she started talking about her life and her husband and those kinds of things? At first, you notice that she's kind of like Rona Barrett. Then all of a sudden, she transitions into Rona Barrett, the person.
It was wonderful. I think her style and your style of interviewing is very similar. And you're able to pull those stories out. I really enjoyed that. And she was, you know, often, you know, someone that everybody seemed to like her until she said something bad about you. But
bad about her. You're right. I've got a couple of facts that you might find interesting in our folks who are watching and listening. Did you know that she actually landed up on Frank Sinatra's enemies list?
Wow. That's really dangerous.
Yeah, since he was the boss. She criticized his personal life, especially his kids, and that really ticked him off. So she was on his enemies list. Also, this one will blow you away. Ryan O'Neill, she said some unflattering things about him. She did with everybody, for that matter. And supposedly, he sent her a box. So when it was opened, guess what was in there? Can you even imagine? Think of the worst thing that you can open the box and think of.
A snake? No, I don't
worst,
know.
Worst, a tarantula.
A tarantula, yeah.
Not a deadly one, but a scary one.
Yeah, the tarantulas are interesting because they're really harmless, but they sure scare people to death.
Oh, well, they're not the most wonderful looking, if you know what I mean. I've held a tarantula before, the ones that are not the deadly, because there are some deadly ones.
Right.
But yeah, and I mean, they are very gentle and very soft because they have that fur, et cetera. Also, Tom Cruise had something to say about her. He said, she is a nice woman, but she will never interview me again. I guess she was on his enemies list too.
Well, she made an industry out of, you know, the art of interviewing and being a critic like she was. But she was also, a very good businesswoman.
Oh, yeah.
And she was able to take that skill and use it in the profession that she chose. And she also ran a foundation, I understand. And
yeah, we're going to hear about that because she even started a lavender farm. That's the first time I interviewed her, when she started the lavender farm, which was to raise money for seniors in need. And she's still doing that to this day. And we'll get into the little bit of that. But first, I had to ask her, a woman like her, so much a woman of the world, meeting so many celebrities and getting to know them, I wanted to know her philosophy of life.
Live every day, one day at a time. And while it's good to think a little bit about tomorrow, enjoying every day for what it brings you. No matter whether it is tears or smiles or laughs or just an ordinary day, it's just take one day at a time, because no one realizes until we all get much older that we remember what our parents told us.
Mm-hmm.
And they told us, you know, people mellow out and people really change, and you will just never recognize how fast life goes by. And that is so true. So
absolutely.
I say to everyone, especially now, and have been saying it for quite some time, take it day by day. And what I learned from being day by day was that you can overcome everything and anything.
What have you had to overcome in your life that you really can share with us so that we know we've got hope too?
Well, I'll just put it a little bit this way.
Okay.
When I was about 8 years old, my parents were told me I would not live past 12 or 13.
Really?
I had been born with a muscular affliction. And that just literally prevented me from doing much of anything.
Huh.
So I spent many a day just looking out the window, looking at other kids who were able to run and jump and skip rope and do things. I also had people call me names and bully me around, even way back then. And one day I just said to myself, you know what, you're going to make yourself so famous nobody will ever touch you again. And that became the motivation for my wanting to make something of myself.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart. If you could step out of Rona Barrett, and just a few steps out, and look back at Rona Barrett, describe her to me. Tell me who she is.
I think she's a very nice, loving person and has always liked people despite the work that I chose to do, in which I often had to say things and criticize, etc. But I took my work very, very seriously. I only wanted to be the best, and if I couldn't be the best, then I didn't want to be anything at all. And I think I'm still that person. I haven't really changed. My priorities have changed. About 10 years ago, I started a very small foundation for seniors in need.
Mm-hmm.
My dad came to live with me, and my mother had passed away. And everyone said to me, you know, the only reason he's living is because of you. But I learned things about my father that I had never known before. And I also watched my father go from a man who had a very, very clever brain to a man who went into the first stages of dementia and then into the first stages of Alzheimer. And I suddenly was his parent.
Mm.
And that's what made me realize that there was something more to life than just Hollywood and all the wonderful things that I think Hollywood is capable of doing. And I said, there are people out there who really need help. And I had a bunch of wonderful women friends, all old enough to be my mother,
mm-hmm.
who were like my guardian angels on earth. And they're the ones that gave me strength to continue when I thought the time had come to give up and not do anything. And then suddenly, here they were needing my help. Somebody lost a husband. Somebody needed somebody to take them to a doctor. Somebody needed, you know, something. And I did the best that I could in trying to help these people. And I realized these people were the only segment of our population that really do not have a voice.
That's true.
To talk for them, to talk about them. And for 10 years now, Mary Jane, I have been telling people that we are facing a crisis equally as great as the economic crisis facing this country.
You're right.
Because we are building an older generation than has ever existed before mm-hmm. in this country, and we don't know how to take care of them. We do
True.
Not have enough housing for them. We do not have enough adult daycare centers for them. We do not have Some of them don't even have enough money. They're living on SSI,
mm-hmm.
and that's $800 or less a month.
Right.
And they can't afford, if they get sick, to either pay for their medicine or go to an assisted living program where someone can help them. There's just no way that they can afford it. And mm-hmm. the crisis is just getting larger and larger every day. And so I started my foundation, and when you spoke to me, I had started my lavender business
mm-hmm.
in which I was growing lavender and making products, and the profits from those products went to the Rona Barrett Foundation for Seniors in Need, and then we started giving other nonprofits who were in need of additional funds, whatever we could afford to give them, to keep those services going for people who were over the age of 65, 70, who really could no longer do it for themselves.
I think what you're doing is spectacular, and I relate very much to what you went through with your father. I went through the same type of thing with my mother, and it's, first of all, they need advocates. And, you know, you and I, in a way, we're lucky that we were there to help them. There are a lot of people that don't have family to act as advocates for these people, whether they, you know, have Alzheimer's or dementia or major catastrophic diseases or any of that type of thing. But it is also difficult because we need to relate to one another as seniors, because I'm 63, so I'm getting there real close. But at 63, you know, in my 50s is when I faced the things with my mom and the dementia. I didn't have anyone to explain to me that it wasn't her fault that she didn't know me anymore, or that she would lash out sometimes and say things. And, you know, I would sit in the car because I had her in a board and care home because I was working full time at the time. And it was like I would go in and I would come out and I tried to be cheerful with her, even though sometimes she would lash out. And I knew she didn't mean to do that, but I'd come out in the car and I'd cry, you know, and I didn't have anyone to tell me that it's okay. You can cry. There's nothing wrong with that. But she doesn't want to do what she's doing either. This is not something she would have chosen as part of her life. And all the types of things that you're doing and sharing of yourself and your experiences, that is so valuable to so many people, because baby boomers, we're all there and we're going kicking and screaming into old age. And unfortunately,
yes, but you still have, a lot of you also still have parents.
That's right.
I mean, a lot of baby boomers still have their parents, and they have to worry about them now.
That's right. And they have
kids. Not everyone was.
They have kids coming home. They're sandwiched. You know, they've
sandwiched.
Sandwich
generation, right?
Yeah. It's amazing.
And then we have the senior orphans.
Yeah.
You know, those that have no one left.
Oh, God. I remember when my mom was in a care facility for a while, and I would go there, and you would see some of these people that had no one. Rona, for months at a time, no one would come and see them. And I would go to sit with them for a while because they had no one.
Well, you know, Mary Jane, it's funny that you bring that up, because in a few days, I'm going to be releasing another sort of a press release, because I'm trying to do a thing called Rona's Warriors, and all I want to do is to help people in their community. I want them to go to their senior community, whether it's a senior community house or whether it's a living facility, and I want them to give up their time. And then I want people to write me and tell me of their experiences, and we will put those experiences on our website, amongst many other things that we hope to do. And it's called Rona's Warriors, and that's what I'm looking to do. I want people in the country to start going from community to community, their own community. I'm not asking them for money, not asking them for anything like that, just to give some service, some time, to some person who really might be a senior orphan, or just a senior who needs somebody to talk to.
It's so heartbreaking, because you want to do more, and there's just so much an individual person
can do.
Yeah. Let me ask you, when is this coming out? I want to help. I want to do something.
Oh, well, Rona's Warriors, I think we're going to release this news probably by early next week.
Okay, because I would like to have, could you come back again so we can do and talk specifically about that?
Yes, I certainly would love to. I certainly would love to, and you know how to reach me.
Oh, yeah, so. I will. I will call, and at your convenience, let's do another, at least a half an hour. If not, we'll go a whole hour. I want to do what I can. I also host the new news here at K-High. So I'm going to take a segment of this show, put it on the new news, and let them know that there's something coming next week that they need to know about, and I'll make sure it gets covered on that, too.
Okay, that's very sweet of you. Thank you, Mary Jane. I really appreciate it. Anybody who wants to help somebody else is fine with me.
Well, that's been kind of a mission in my life, too. That's the reason I've been doing talk shows and still doing them as long as I have, and trying to do the type of talk show that we're doing right now, sharing with people. There's so many other talk shows, and I that's the reason I wanted to get into that, too, and didn't have time today. But the talk shows are political, and they're adverse. You know, they're always yelling at each other and calling each other names. That's not what we need to be doing. We need to be imparting compassion and sharing and good information for a change. You know, that's gone
good
away.
Good information.
I'm sorry.
But, you know, unfortunately, we have too many people who are still suffering. This economic crisis of ours is far from over. And I think the one thing that most people fail to understand is that Rome wasn't built in a day, neither were we built in a day, and to expect something to happen overnight is an impossibility. It takes time because you have to lay a brand new foundation. You cannot build upon a foundation that is cracked and is broken and does not function any longer.
You bet.
So that takes time. And that's really what we have to all teach ourselves right now. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what your circumstances are. We are going to be living in a new kind of society and world, and we cannot expect. We have to be much more like the Asians have always been. They look down the road for 20 years, and when they start planning something, they plan it for 20 years from the date that they started. We, unfortunately, have always wanted it yesterday.
Yes.
And that is something I'm not saying is going to be easy to overcome, but if people don't start talking this way, then nobody is going to be able to come out and say these kinds of things.
You bet.
Because somebody has to now indoctrinate people about what it is that's really existing, not something that you hope will exist. I mean, we hope that something better will happen, but you can't not expect it tomorrow, and you cannot expect it to arrive this afternoon. It's just not going to happen.
Rona, you're the best. I really mean that seriously, and I want to do all I can to help.
Thank you, Mary Jane. I appreciate it. I appreciate all the time you've given me this morning.
Oh, much more to come. And I thank you for being with us today. Again, they can go to your website, though, ronabarrett.com, correct?
That's right, and you get a lot of information from that.
Terrific. And I'm looking forward to seeing your DVD, too, because I've always admired all your interviews. They're terrific.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thank you so much.
God bless. I will talk with you in the next day or so we can set something up next week, and we're going to get the word out. We'll let at least Northern California know.
That's wonderful. That's great. Thank you so much.
Take care and have a wonderful day, Rona.
You too.
Bye-bye, love.
Bye-bye.
Again, that's ronabarrett.com, and she has a DVD out. Rona Barrett's Hollywood, Nothing But the Truth. And you can tell, this woman, it comes from her heart.
It does come from... I think we can use Rona's warriors today. Doesn't a lot of what she said back in 2010 resound in what's happening today?
Oh, so much. That's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, everything she was saying just is so...
resonates
appropriate for where we are in the world today.
Yeah,
I found a passage, you know, the Bible. It says, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins." And as she was talking, I was thinking, you know, how do we resolve problems? How do we help the poor? How do we do? You know, live in a better world than we're living in. And I think she really hit it on the nose. Hit it on the nail head, you know. It's words of wisdom, and you know, all of our the interviews that you do, somehow, you know, the message is always very common. We need more compassion, and we need more love in this world.
Absolutely, and it's lovely to know that she's actually still helping, like seniors. And is still involved in the Rona Barrett Foundation, which still exists to help seniors in need at Santa Ynez, California. And what a woman, 89 years old, unbelievable, and still going strong. It's amazing. We should take a lesson from her, Ken.
Well, you know, we need to track her down and get her back on and see, you know, where we're at.
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea. Well, I guess that's it for this edition, Ken, unless you have something else you want to comment.
No, thank you for another great interview, great program.
This edition is done, Pop Star Talk, but never fear. We'll be back with some more outstanding interviews from yesteryear. And I'm going to leave you with this saying, Ken, you'll love this, okay? This comes from Oscar Wilde. It says, and this fits into what we've been talking about with Rona, too. Be yourself. Everyone else is taken. So that's it for Pop Star Talk. Till next time.
Produced by Autovita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.